Welcome into the Soft Verbal Podcast. It's been a month. There's a reason there was a month. We were searching for a presenting sponsor, and we found one. Not only did we find one, we found a great one in Dead Soxy. DeadSoxy.com, the best dress socks you're ever going to put on your feet, on your legs. We'll tell you about those in just a moment. I'm Neil McCready. I'm the host of this here program. The person that you come to hear, though, is Russell Johnson of Rivals.com, RebelGrove.com. Russell is here as well. We will hear from Russell. Take your questions at RebelGrove.com. Have a mailbag edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast right here in just a second. But first, let me tell you about Dead Soxy. Jason Simmons, the founder of Dead Soxy, he grew up in Mississippi. He built a career in the business world before he became obsessed with building the perfect dress sock. I know that sounds kind of crazy at first, and Jason will be the first to tell you he's not reinventing the wheel here. They're really trying to build, as they say, build a better mousetrap. Everybody has a mousetrap. You want a good mousetrap. If you wear dress socks, you know what I'm talking about. You pull your sock on and it tears. That's the end of the sock. You pull the sock on and you can tell it's about to tear, and you have to be super careful with the sock. You pull the sock on and you spend the rest of your day pulling the sock back up. You put the sock on and by several hours later, your feet are hot. It's uncomfortable. You can't wait to take those socks off. None of those problems exist with Dead Soxy. I've been wearing them for months. I'll not wear another dress sock. Completely understand you have to try them for yourself. They're a premium sock. They're made from bamboo. They stay up. They don't tear. They stay cool even on the hottest of days. Even when you're on your feet all day, they stay soft. They're simply phenomenal. And you can see for yourself with no risk. Go try them. If you don't love them, Dead Soxy will refund your money and you'll keep the socks. Seriously, it's a 100% risk-free guarantee. Check out their site, deadsoxy.com. That's dead, S-O-X-Y.com. You can look at their offerings for men, for women. They even have an inventory of no-show socks. All you do at checkout is you enter the code REBELGROVE. It can be one word. You can put a space between Rebel and Grove. You can make it all lowercase. You can make it uppercase. You can enter the word Rebel Grove however it makes you happy, and it's going to take it. It's not case sensitive. And at checkout, if you'll enter Rebel Grove, you'll get 25% off your order. And I don't feel bad saying what I'm about to say. Podcasts are a big part of what we do. It's a big part of our site, but it's not a part of our site, if that makes any sense. Russell brings you recruiting information every single day, except for the day that I yelled at him and made him stop because his family was in town. He brings recruiting to you every single day on RebelGrove.com. It's there. It's part of your subscription. This is not part of your subscription. This is a different thing. You don't pay for this. We supplement it. We make it work by advertising. So if you want to, and I know a lot of people missed the Soft Verbal Podcast, I would hear that a lot. I'm sure Russell heard that a lot. It's back. Without Dead Soxy, there's no podcast being recorded today under the name of Soft Verbal. It's not happening. So do us a favor. You can tell us you appreciate us. You can tell Russell. I'm sure he likes it. But if you really want to show us, go to Dead Soxy and take them up on their offer. It's risk-free. If you don't love them, call and tell them, I didn't love it. I don't like it. They'll send you your money back. I swear to you they will. And you'll keep the sock. I have a feeling you're going to love the sock. And you're going to want more socks. And if you'll enter the code Rebel Grove, you'll get 25% off those socks. It's a premium item. Yet, some people say it's a premium price. It's really not if you go price it out. It is a premium item. You will love them. You will not want to wear any other dress sock after you've worn Dead Soxy. So, hope you love the product. I know you love the show. Here we go. First, let me tell you that we're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Speaking of premium products, what Corey gives you is not only great Ford products, he gives you premium service. He wants to be your truck guy. He wants to be your car guy. He'll prove it to you. Call the number. Ask for Corey. Tell Corey what new Ford you want. It's that simple. Tell him what new Ford you want. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggle. There's no hassle. You get your quote, and you can shop it around, or you can do what I did, and that's let Corey and the people at Clark Ford take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. You get a great Ford product, phenomenal service, all of those things, delivery options, whatever it is you want, Corey will make it happen. Tell him that you heard about Clark Ford on the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Dead Soxy, and you will save an additional $500 on the already great deal at Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900. Russell, how are you?
Doing good. It feels good to be back, definitely. We had about a month hiatus, and
yeah,
sometimes I was getting a little itchy and kind of scratchy over there waiting for it to come back, but it's amazing. Thankful as well for Dead Soxy and to be back in the Clark Ford studio.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm glad we're back. Glad we're doing it just in time for the recruiting crunch to get here. I know that it is it's kind of right around the corner. I'm looking for the three. There it is. Yeah, because as we tape this, it's Wednesday. We're going to throw this up first thing Thursday morning. We're going to put it up before we even hit the button on the Oxford Exxon podcast. So when you hear this for the first time, it's 3 weeks until Thanksgiving to the day.
Yeah.
Which means, of course, it's 3 weeks until the Egg Bowl, which means, of course, barring a NCAA change of heart, it's the end of the football season.
Yep.
Which means it's the beginning of the recruiting season, per se. And also, it's when a lot of the things that we've talked about for months either do or do not get addressed. Matt Luke is going to make a large statement at the end of the season, either by his action or his inaction. His inaction would be a major statement. I anticipate action. But I'll be honest, and maybe you know more than I do, I don't know. I've not been told emphatically by anyone who would know what specific changes are coming.
No, and I don't think that anyone knows for certain, because you always can get into the hypotheticals. I mean, the hypotheticals are that Ole Miss has some challenging games remaining on the schedule in Texas A&M, South Carolina, Mississippi State, and even the trip to Vanderbilt's going to be a challenge.
Dude, the trip to Vanderbilt is easily not the easiest game remaining.
Right.
The easiest game remaining is the one Saturday at home against South Carolina.
That is
correct.
Yeah, exactly. And you can play in your head. You can go 2-2. You can go 3-1. You can go 0-4. And that's kind of when you start to think too much about that and kind of start to forget about the recruits that are coming in and kind of get lost in the shuffle. There's been no confirmation that there's going to be, you know, several changes this offseason. Would I be shocked if there were less than three? Yes.
Yeah. What's the max number you'd put on it?
Seven.
Wow.
That's when the NFL coaching situation goes into play with some candidates, and that's where it would get to seven, possibly. It wouldn't all be Luke telling seven coaches to go.
So in that scenario, no, there's no reason to beat around the bush if we don't have to. You're talking about a scenario, because I don't think Matt Luke's getting rid of Jack Bicknell.
No, not at
You're
all.
You're talking about a scenario where Jack Bicknell gets offered an NFL gig and takes it for maybe pension-related purposes.
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Between that and the fact that he's been able to do the most and get the most out of that offensive line, where at times before, you know, when Luke was the offensive line coach, there were some questions about development and stuff.
No, Bicknell's terrific.
Yeah. The offensive line, the Auburn game a couple weeks ago, I mean, they got completely manhandled.
They did, but let's give some – this is a pet peeve. We're going to get into recruiting in a minute. This is a Neil McCready pet peeve. They got manhandled, yes. Let's give some credit to the other team. Those are really good players over there. And they play hard, too.
I would venture all of them play in the NFL.
Yes. And they're all trying – to win, and they know that their film's out there for the NFL too. And so when you're going up against one of the better offensive lines in the league, and Ole Miss has one of the better offensive lines in the league, you're motivated to put your best play on film. Sometimes you just get beat. Sometimes it's one of my pet peeves on – this is Ole Miss related, what's coming. It's not recruiting related, but it's Ole Miss related, so most of you will not object. I get people that go, why do you get in such a bad mood after some of the press conferences and the media ops? Well, here's why. I'm not defending Wesley McGriff at all. I'm not attacking. I'm not defending. But when people ask Wesley McGriff the same questions week after week after week after week after week, which part of he can't say the answer? Now, if you're waiting for him to go, I haven't done a good job, he's not going to do that. Has he done a good job? I would say by watching what they do pre-snap and talking to football people, they haven't done a particularly good job of coaching this unit. Now, that being said, I've watched their linebacker play get better steadily. I've watched Willie Hibbler go from being an absolute liability in pass coverage. I mean, to the point of it being like, I said to you one day, he can't be out there. And he made the play against Arkansas. Now, he got beat early in the game, but he made plays. They've turned Mohamed Sanogo, I'm saying his name correctly, Momo Sanogo. They've turned him from a player who was just okay, maybe serviceable was the word, to he's kind of good. He's kind of good.
Yeah, and he's been counted on time and time again.
Well, there's no question, but he was going to be counted on even if he'd stayed serviceable.
Exactly.
But they've made him good. Now, is that all Sumrall? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not out there enough to know the answer to that. But when you ask Wesley McGriff, why is your secondary whatever, whatever? I don't know. What is he going to say? Hey, we're beat up. We lost our best player in the second quarter of week one. I'm out here with the true freshman. Who's gotten better, in fairness, but he's a true freshman. And I'm out here with two converted running backs. I'm out here with two converted running backs having to play 50 snaps a game. I'm playing defense with an offensive system that really doesn't fit what we have on defense. He can't answer that question. We don't have enough players. Why isn't Kevontae Ruggs playing more? Because he's lost. He's a true freshman who didn't play a lot of high school football, and when he did, most of it was at wide receiver. There was a reason that Alabama ultimately passed on Kevontae Ruggs. Why? It's because Kevontae Ruggs' best football was probably 3 to 4 years down the road. Ole Miss took him, and Ole Miss had to play him right away. Why? Because they don't have enough good players. Which really is the part of the whole thing that is going to be most interesting, because I said this in my mailbag that's up on rebelgrove.com on Wednesday, presented by the Weston Jackson. My thanks to them. One of the questions was, what would be the things you would, if you're Matt Luke, what are the things you do? Well, one of the things I do, which leads into where we're about to get started here, is every coach on my staff is either a tactical genius, a coaching genius, or a recruiting stud. For example, Jack Bicknell is a tactical, probably say genius, really understands offensive line play at the highest of levels.
Yeah, I agree.
Can teach it, can coach it, can develop it. So, and this is hypothetically, I really don't know what the recruiting chops are or are not of Jack Bicknell, okay?
Yeah.
But let's just say for this hypothetical that he's an average recruiter. I can live with that if I'm getting great coaching and development from him. Okay?
I agree, yeah.
If he's just an average coach, I'm using Bicknell as an example because we've already talked about Bicknell. And Bicknell's deal is if he's still at Ole Miss next year, it's going to be because he wants to be.
Yes.
Let's say for this hypothetical that he's just an average coach. He's okay. All right, whatever. he can get him out there in time and go through some drills, but he really can't develop. Well, then he better be a stud recruiter. He better be going out recruiting elite players where it really doesn't matter. And that's where I think it's going to be interesting with Ole Miss with Matt. He's got some people on his staff that are just okay coaches, and they're just okay recruiters. And that doesn't work in this league. It's okay in the Sun Belt. That's not work in the SEC. And if you believe my friend Jay Tate, it's going to be changes at Auburn. You look around the rest of the league, Alabama speaks for itself. I think we can stop with the Orgeron bashing. I'm done with it. Jimbo Fisher, the program looks much better in year one than I thought it would look at Texas A&M. We'll see what Moorhead does at Mississippi State. In my eyes, the jury is still somewhat out, but I'm not prepared to say he's a bad coach. This is the worst Arkansas team that Chad Morris will ever have. They'll get better. Will they get better enough to matter? I don't know. We'll see. Point is, it's a tough league. It's a tough league. You've got to have, at a place like Ole Miss, you better go out and have some elite recruiters mixed in with some really good developers. And so that's a decision that Matt's got to make. And unlike last offseason, where he didn't know he was getting this job until he got it.
He had no clue.
And unlike last offseason, where he probably really didn't have the ability to plan and make decisions and those kind of things, that's not the case this time. He's known 3 weeks from today is coming for a long time. He's had plenty of time to think about it, to plan for it, to get organized for it. That's why I've said all along, and people have pushed back. And I get it. I get why people push back, because every Saturday's special and you want to win and you want your team to win and all that. I get all that. It's why I've said all along, I don't think these games are all that meaningful. I don't think they really matter. Because even in the worst case for Ole Miss, let's say they lose all four games in November and look bad doing it. Okay? That's worst case. At the end of those four games, if you get rid of more than half your coaching staff, and bring in people that get kids excited, you can sell hope again. You can sell vision. All that stuff doesn't matter. No kid is going to go, well, you know what? I was going to go to Ole Miss, but, man, they lost to South Carolina and Texas A&M, and I'm like, I don't know. That doesn't happen. That does not happen. Now, if he goes 0-4 or 1-3 and says in November when people say, what are you going to do about your coaching staff? And he goes, I like my coaching staff. We're not doing anything. I'm gonna keep these guys. We're moving forward. That will be very hard to sell. Hell, Russell, he could go 4-0 and say that, and it's gonna be a bad recruiting pitch.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's kind of what I was trying to say is you don't want to get too lost in the results of the next four games, which, you know, some people are overemphasizing and a lot of. They're putting too much stock into that. Like you said, you know, if they go 4-0 and they keep the staff in place, the close in December and February is not going to be pretty.
And you could go 1-3 or 0-4 and make all the right moves and have a completely different deal.
Yeah, you could find your way back up into the top 20 and possibly a little bit higher, depending on who you're able to lure and how quickly they can get to campus and whether or not they actually, you know, try to compete in the coach in the bowl games.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get started. We'll start with N'Kobe Dean because, well, he's up first, and frankly, that seems to be on everyone's mind. So we'll get this one. We'll get going with N'Kobe Dean and sort of move from there. The question from WF Brown 10 is, with the likelihood that N'Kobe Dean signs elsewhere, why so few linebacker targets? So let's break this up because I can answer a handful of questions with one.
Yeah.
First, give us the latest on N'Kobe Dean.
Okay. N'Kobe Dean, it still seems that Georgia is leading the race. Alabama was trying to get an unofficial visit out of him. They weren't able to do that. Instead, he went to a Steelers game a few weeks ago. It's really about to start getting hectic for him because he's got official visits to LSU, Auburn, Texas A&M, Georgia. He's got his last four official visits coming up in the next several weeks. And then on top of that, he's got the end of his senior season of in football, possibly a state championship game. He's got the Mississippi-Alabama game, which he plans on playing in, which I was kind of surprised when he told me that. And then he's got the Under Armour All-American game as well. So for N'Kobe Dean, it's been a nice slow ride. I mean, not really slow for him. You know, he's in honors classes and graduating early and everything, but it's about to get crazy because he used to have open weekends where he could go to Ole Miss possibly if he decided to. And it became known that, you know, a lot of the times he was going to Ole Miss and visiting Ole Miss, it was to see his brother. It wasn't necessarily to go with that recruit lanyard on and to get the treatment as you walk around. It was more to support Nicholas, his brother, you know, who walked onto the team. And with that, Nicholas was at, obviously, the Horn Lake and Tupelo game last week during the bye. And you see that relationship. Obviously, they're brothers. But you don't see that playing a role in his decision as much as some in Oxford had hoped. Like I said, with the officials and everything coming up with Dean, Ole Miss is going to try to get him on campus the weekend after Thanksgiving, which is when his teammate and fellow Ole Miss target, Ra'Darius Jones, will be taking an official visit. And the only difference that Ole Miss hopes is that he's paying his way instead of Ole Miss.
Okay. Is there... I'll go here. I'll not beat around the bush. If Wesley McGriff is still the defensive coordinator at Ole Miss next year, is there a scenario, in your opinion, where N'Kobe Dean is on Ole Miss's signing day list?
No.
Is there anyone out there, whether you want to name that person or not, is there anyone out there, is a change at defensive coordinator enough to change the game at this point, or has the ship basically sailed?
It would make it interesting. I don't want to get into the ship references with Maryland yesterday and everything, but with Dean, I'm not sure if one hire, even two or three hires on that side of the ball would make a difference. Summerall's in his top two or three relationships he has with coaches.
Yeah.
I would put Dan Lanning up there quite a bit as well at Georgia. Lanning recruited at Memphis last year, and now he's at Georgia, and he's done a really good job there. I'm not sure if even possibly hiring him, which no one has talked about and I couldn't see happening, I don't think that would sell him enough to go to Ole Miss.
Okay, back to his question, and we're kind of jumping around on N'Kobe Dean some because it leads to some of the things. If it's unlikely that Ole Miss gets him, the question here is why so few linebacker targets? I think there are a number of linebacker targets, right?
Oh, there is ton. And they were out on the road last week during the bye, and they sent out three new linebacker offers. One was a couple weeks prior at a JUCO in California, and Victor Veramontes, forgive me if I mispronunciated his name, he was actually a quarterback. I mean, his story is well documented. He was a quarterback recruited by Phil Longo last year, chose Minnesota, lost out to a walk-on and a fringe scholarship player at Minnesota, went back to Riverside JUCO, switched to linebacker, and he's been playing really well. He picked up a Houston offer yesterday. He's got several other Power 5 offers. He's very hard to get in touch with, so I'm not sure how real the Ole Miss interest is for him. But then they also offered a two-star linebacker from the state of Florida in Jeremiah Jean-Baptiste last week when they were on the road. South Dade, committed to Central Florida, and it seems as if they think they found a diamond in the rough. But I don't see that yet. I mean, sure, he has the family ties and the family members who have played in the NFL in the past several years, signed at Power 5 schools, etc. But for him to be a take at Ole Miss, in my opinion, you would have to strike out on everybody. And that would include losing somebody like Ashanti Seastrunk or somebody not qualifying who they expect to qualify. Something like that would have to take place for him to become realistic. And then they also offered the four-star linebacker from IMG who is kind of fallen through the cracks in Mykel Jones, who has had a lot of offers. He had some really big ones early on in the process. But like I said, he kind of got lost in the shuffle. He didn't make an early commitment. And with that, these schools, and I'll answer another question that's on here already. These schools, they send out these so many offers early on, and everybody thinks, oh, I can commit. And you can't. And the majority of those offers that you see sent out in February, March, and April, those are invitations to come see the campus in June and work out in front of the head coach. Those aren't, hey, you can commit in October if you want, or maybe November 1st. Those aren't those kind of offers. And with the linebacker from IMG, you'll see a lot of the higher level Power 5 schools have taken other commitments at his spot. And you've got like Syracuse, Purdue, and you've got schools like that who are still in the mix with him. And then Ole Miss comes into the picture and kind of shocked him. The two-star linebacker was shocked as well when he got the offer. But for Mikel, I mean, it was more of a, you know, waiting around to see if those SEC-level schools were going to come an offer, because I mean, he's had a good season at IMG. He shows some pretty good upside, and like I said, you know, he's played some of the best talent in the country at IMG this year, which has helped him, and I'm sure also the preparation for college at IMG is pretty good as well.
Seminole 817 says, how much do you think a change at defensive coordinator, should that happen, would boost defensive recruiting? Let's assume it's someone like the guy at App State, referring to Brian Brown.
Brian Brown has some kind of Ole Miss ties, doesn't he?
Yeah, he played at Ole Miss.
Okay. Yeah, see, well, you knew that. I mean, I assumed as much as his name was brought up, but if they were to hire that level of a guy, I'm not sure there would be that much of a woo factor, but you would see the board change probably quite a bit.
He's awfully good for a guy his age. I mean, he's moving up the ranks pretty steadily.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think his deal is strictly that he's an Ole Miss guy. And you know, and I'm typically one that is critical of, oh God, the whole list looks like former Ole Miss players. I don't think that's typically a great idea.
Yeah.
Brown, from everything I've seen and heard, at least in my eyes, would be an exception to that rule.
Yeah. And then with him, another thing that, you know, fans have to remember is the fact that administrations and head coaches aren't going to make a decision on whether or not to hire somebody strictly because of one game. App State got manhandled by Georgia Southern last week.
Georgia Southern's good because I saw what they did to my boys at ULM.
Yeah. Georgia Southern's had quite the quick turnaround. We won't get into any of that, but they've had a turnaround, and App State got beat handily. And you saw quite a bit of the supporters on the message board, on the premium message board of rebelgrove.com. You saw several of them kind of back away from their stance on Brian. And I'm like, you know, the coaches aren't going to make that decision based off of one game.
No.
That's like the whole
thing. Yeah. Recruit makes a decision off one game.
Exactly.
That's too emotional.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's people do that stuff, and it's just, you can't do that. That no one does that. Or the people that do that are not successful people.
Yeah. And with Brown, you know, I'm not sure. I haven't really dug too deep into his recruiting background, but anybody who can recruit successfully to Boone, North Carolina, is a damn good recruiter.
Yeah, he has a reputation of being a very good recruiter. He has a reputation of being an up-and-comer in the coaching ranks. He has a reputation of being a very good defensive mind. Is he a guy that's on Matt Luke's radar? I have no idea. I'm be honest. You're going to hear people tell you, oh, here's this hot board. I think if you see that, it's people guessing and speculating. And as someone who has occasionally put up a hot board full of guesses and speculation, it's good business. Just don't take the names too terribly seriously right off the bat.
No, don't take the names too seriously, and don't not just get your hopes up, but don't emotionally get invested into somebody. Kind of like I've seen on the message board with Pete Golding. Pete Golding is the linebacker coach and co-defensive coordinator at Alabama, has ties to the state of Mississippi. I think with the Delta State, he's got quite a bit of connections in the state, and he actually recruits the state and has Byron Young committed. He's played quite a factor in Brandon Turnage's commitment to Alabama, and a lot of people have gotten emotionally invested in the hopes and dreams that Ole Miss is able to hire him.
How realistic is it?
It depends where the money's at.
Well, it's going to be one of the things that's really interesting to me, at least, is where is the money? What is the money situation?
Yeah.
Assuming that there's no relief in the form of a giant appellate win with the NCAA. Let's say hypothetically you decide to move on from Wesley McGriff. He's owed over the next two seasons $2.3 million. That's real money.
Yeah.
It's real money. At some point, you can't just spend. Pete Golding probably at Alabama makes what, eight?
I think 750, close okay. to it. Maybe six something.
So you probably got to get him to $1 million to get him to even think about coming to Ole Miss and leaving the preeminent program in the country.
I'd say over that.
Yeah, that's what I said, at least.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
It might be 1-3, 1-4 to get him to really think about it. Because, look, when you're at Alabama right now, this is not a knock on Ole Miss. Right now in the college football hierarchy, this is not breaking news. You have Alabama, and then you like this massive fall off to like Clemson and stuff, and then a fall off to the other programs. If you're at Alabama, before you leave, you have to ask yourself, okay, I'm here. This is as hot as I'm going to get, necessarily. Do I wait and cash in at the right time? There's not going to be a fall off at Alabama next year.
No, there's not.
I mean, they might actually like play a close game at some point, and everybody will freak out, but you know, they're going to win 12 games. They're going to go to the playoff again. So,
yeah.
Anyway, all right. EA Fins Up wants to know.
He asked about, what he asked, 10 questions?
17 questions. All right, we're quick. Kenny Logan. Every time I see his name, I want to go Kenny Loggins. Do you even know who Kenny Loggins is?
No, I do not.
Russell, we have so much to talk about. Kenny Logan, where's Ole Miss stand?
Ole Miss is going to get an official visit, if they want, from him in December. He's planned it and scheduled it, but he doesn't talk to the media much. And to be honest, I don't know if he talks to the coaches much. I'm not sure where he's at on the hierarchy, on the board. And not to mention that Ole Miss has several safety commits already in, you know, A.J. Finley, Jay Stanley, Jonathan Haynes. I mean, they've got their share of commits at the position already.
Nick Anderson, is he SEC caliber? That dude could shoot it.
Wrong, Nick Anderson.
Oh, sorry.
Nick Anderson is the linebacker at Jones County, which Ole Miss has been looking at pretty heavily. I mean, they've been looking at the almost the entire defense at Jones County pretty heavily. With Nick Anderson, he's yet to pick up a Power 5 offer. He's another one that I think some people on the board and Ole Miss fans are getting emotionally invested in. He's from Vicksburg, didn't get recruited out of high school, committed to South Alabama the moment they offered early. Was that in the summer? Yeah. And with that, schools are starting to show interest. I mean, he had a really good season. He's had a really good season. He's got a chance to boost his stock the further Jones County gets into the, I don't know if they call them playoffs in JUCO or what, but Jones County plays on Saturday, and then if they win, they play in the state championship, probably against East. And that's going to be interesting. If he's able to continue to see his stock rise, could I see Ole Miss offer? Yes. Could I see other SEC schools offer? It depends on where their need is at the position. I mean, at linebacker, Ole Miss needs dudes. They don't need guys who are going to be need another year to season, especially if you're going to take a JUCO. That's kind of where I got into it with Terrence Edgton, the linebacker at Northeast. Could he play in the SEC? Yes. He has 2 years to play, and he would only be, in my opinion, useful that second year. And you don't want that. You can't do that with a JUCO linebacker. No, you can't.
No, it's why JUCOs are so risky.
Yeah. And at Ole Miss is
– you only take a JUCO is if he can have a Scotty Phillips-like impact on your program.
Exactly.
Otherwise, they're a waste. I'm sorry. They are. They're a total waste. If you bring in a JUCO and they only give you 1 year – you wasted.
Yeah, and I think they've learned their lesson. I mean, Luke's first, not even full year of recruiting was last class, and he took a couple JUCOs that he probably shouldn't have took.
Yeah.
I mean, because there are some that are redshirting, and I mean, I understand that, you know, if you have the redshirt available to use it, but why did you take a JUCO defensive lineman if you weren't going to use him?
When you could have taken a high school lineman and developed him and potentially gotten 3 or 4 years out of him.
Exactly.
If I'm redshirting someone, I'm redshirting an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
Agreed.
You go take like a kid 18 years old and you say, we really think when this kid's 20, he's going to be a player.
Cool. Yeah, you don't go take the 20-year-old who has a chance to be a player.
Yeah.
Especially in the SEC. I mean, that would work at South Alabama. That would work at Tulane or somewhere like that. But when you're playing in the SEC and you're playing against the best players in the country and future NFL players, you can't do that.
No, the reality is when you take that project, in your mind, he has 2 years. He has a redshirt year and then a development year. And then if he is what you think he's going to be, he gives you three really good seasons. And if you see after 2 years that he can't, he transfers to West Georgia or somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, that's reality.
Exactly.
I don't know if they flip Turnage. Do they flip Norton? And do they flip Gordon?
Turnage is too close to call right now. But he's still vocal about Alabama. Signing in December, February is still up in the air with him. Norton, I don't think so right now. Of those three, I would be the most confident saying Jamon Gordon flips back to Ole Miss.
So you've cut out the lattes, you've put in those curly Q light bulbs, and you've brown bagged your lunch to work, but it still feels like payday keeps getting here a day or two late and a few hundred dollars short. Well, try this. State Farm agent Wally Morgan, give him a call. Tell him you'd like a free discount double check. It's a line-by-line review of your car insurance policy to make sure you're getting the discounts you deserve. Like 10% for being a good driver. Another 10% if your teenage driver happens to be a good student. 17% for simply combining your car and home policies. Add all those State Farm discounts up. It's pretty easy to see how you could be saving hundreds of dollars a year. So get started today by giving State Farm agent Wally Morgan in New Albany, Mississippi a call, 662-539-7062. Because being there to help keep more of your money in your pocket is why he's here. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Discounts may vary state to state. All right. Lob Lolly, how does a kid think he's got a scholarship offer when he actually does not? Yeah, to answer your question, sometimes it's a misunderstanding. Sometimes it's a kid making it up. Sometimes it's a kid thinking that a offer to come visit or an offer to come to camp is a scholarship offer. And sometimes and frequently it's coaches telling a kid he has a scholarship offer, being able to know, you have an offer. We can't really send one out until September 1 of your senior year, but you've got one. It's just keeping fish lines in the water, and then all of a sudden those lines get pulled up as you start catching fish.
Yeah, and like I was saying, you know, when you get those early offers, there's not going to be the same amount of offers in October and November as there was in March and April, especially if you don't go to those schools and camp and impress the coaches in the summer.
You had a little bit of content this week, or a good bit of content, I should say, about Kincaid Dent, the
quarterback at Jackson Academy.
Yeah. Georgia and Kincaid, there's a note there about I think a school like Georgia has either offered or come close to offering.
Yeah, they're close to offering.
His question's a good one, I think. He says, would a school like Georgia show interest in a kid like Dent with no intent on signing him at all in the hopes that the in-state schools jump on board and waste a scholarship on him? No, I don't think. Do you?
Georgia is recruiting anybody in the southeast part of this country who can throw a tight spiral, it seems, right now. They have Plumlee committed, and they have Justin Fields on the roster, and they have Jake Fromm as their starter right now. Other than that, those are the three quarterbacks they're set to have in their quarterback meeting room next year. And that probably scares the hell out of Kirby Smart. I mean, no offense to Jake Fromm and Justin Fields, but one of those two this offseason could decide, hey, you know what? I want to play.
Sure.
And then you're left with Jake Fromm or Justin Fields, one or the other, and then John Rhys Plumlee. And that's scary because Plumlee's not a quarterback at the next level. Georgia will tell him he is until he gets there. And to be honest, Ole Miss probably could have done that too. But you don't want to burn that bridge at Oak Grove. And Plumlee's a pretty good baseball player too. But his recruitment has still picked up. It's kind of picked up actually quite a bit. Mississippi State and Ole Miss are still showing interest in him. And there may be a scenario where Georgia says, you know, hey, you know, we loved your commitment. We loved having you for so long on our list, but we need to go get a true quarterback. And that's where Kincaid Dent, that's where Justin Fombie, that's where several of the top, I wouldn't say top, mid-level quarterbacks in the Southeast have started hearing from Georgia, and Georgia is going to host them on visits, and they're going to show them the ropes, and they're going to do what they do to get their recruits late on in the cycle because they need that body. So answering this question, do I think Georgia's interest in Dant is legit? Yes. Do I think Dant is borderline offended that Ole Miss offered a preferred walk-on? I do. I was a little bit surprised when I talked to him. I just, you expect some coy answers, and I mean, but he was open about it, and he thinks that Ole Miss is, kind of taking advantage of his financial situation and the way they know they can offer a preferred walk-on because they know his family can afford it.
And let's say this too, the people that think that comment's going to cost him a scholarship or whatever, no, it's not.
No, not at all. I mean, he's
– And look, here's the other part. We talked about the defensive side a lot. Phil Longo's in a different spot probably than Wesley McGriff. I think if Phil Longo – my opinion, you might disagree. And if you do, it's cool. I mean, you're fired, but it's still cool. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I think if Phil Longo wants to stay at Ole Miss, he probably can.
I don't know about that.
Okay. I'm judging this based on nothing other than just body language.
Yeah.
Literally. I kind of have a sense that he knows something's up. He knows he's going somewhere based on his answers.
I wouldn't disagree with you one bit on that.
That he knows something's coming. That he's going to leave on his own volition. It's my opinion. I could be wrong. And again, I like it. Listen, I don't know Phil Longo. Like, we've never really had a personal conversation. I like the guy. Seems like a good guy. We've never had talk about family or anything like that. I mean, I just sometimes just doesn't happen. That's okay.
Yeah.
But if he leaves, let's say he leaves, Ole Miss's relationship with the Tisdale kid changes.
Yeah.
Maybe it doesn't end. It just changes.
Yeah, it would change. Yeah.
The dynamics of that relationship would change.
Drastically.
Potentially their interest in the Jefferson kid at North Panola would change. Is it KJ?
Yes.
And potentially their interest or relationship with a kid like Kincaid Dent could change. My point is, late November, early December, there could be a lot of tumult. There could be a lot of change. There could be just a lot of variables at play all of a sudden. And if Ole Miss picked up the phone and called Kincaid Dent with, let's say, a new offensive coordinator / quarterbacks coach who said, hey, Kincaid, this is Joe Schmo. Because if I come up with a hypothetical name, people are going to Google it, and it's going to, knowing my luck, it'll be the offensive coordinator at, like, McNeese.
Right.
This is Joe Schmo. I've been watching your tape, watching you when I was at Minnetonka State. Really like your tape. I want to offer you a scholarship. Love for you to come up on an official visit. You got a scholarship offer. Let's get to know each other. Let's watch some film together. Let's get on the board together. Let's break bread. Let's see what's up. Let's see if we still feel this way about each other after we spend a weekend together. Basically, let's go on a date.
Yeah.
If you don't think Kincaid Dent's going to come for that, you're out of your mind. He's in the car.
He would be in the car during the conversation.
He would be, literally, because he'd be on a cell phone, you'd hear the car start.
Yeah.
He'd be on his way. So there's time.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Exactly.
Which gets me back into my original point about everybody going, these games in November are so important. They're really not. You would rather win them than lose them. I'm good if you say that. Well, we'd really rather win than lose. Okay. We'd really rather look good than look like crap. Gotcha. These games are of paramount importance to the future of the program. No, they're not. Now you've gone too far. And that's all I'm saying to people. People say, well, fan buy-in. I get it. That's an emotional thing. The same fan who walks out of the Egg Bowl after a 3-touchdown loss going, that's it, I'm done. Betty, we're not coming next year. Hell no. Is the same dude that a week later, when they've made 2 big-time hires of coordinators, is the same guy that goes, man, we're going to kick ass next year. We're going to kick ass next year.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what it is.
What's the Cubs convention if the Cubs sign Bryce Harper? That'll go from people being, I don't know if I want to go this year, to I'm there.
You would be there.
Well, I mean, I'm already going, but yeah. You understand my point.
Yeah, I do. There's a lot of people who would be on the fringe, and I think that that goes as well when it comes to investing in the program. A lot of people are hesitant to do that the way that the staff is currently set up and the way that the program is right now. The trajectory isn't exactly going upward. There's a real risk, and I know we've talked quite a bit about it on this podcast today. There's a real risk of stagnation if there's no changes. Even if there is slight changes, there's still a real risk, especially if you still have the same coaches who have been here since the freeze era.
Yeah, no argument. I completely agree. I was standing up to take off my jacket for those of you who are not watching on ESPN 17. C. Strand wants to know update on Jabari Small.
Jabari Small still doesn't have an offer. Yes, his last name is Small, but he doesn't have an offer. Him and Amari Thomas will be at the game on Thanksgiving. Other than that, there's really nothing else. Arkansas has made him a priority early, as they have several kids in the city of Memphis. But other than that, there's really nothing else going on. Ole Miss hasn't even shown any inclination of an offer. He's been impressive at running back. But Briarcrest hasn't exactly had the year that everybody expected him to.
Same question. He wants to know, is there anything the staff could have done differently over the last year that would have improved their chances with prospects like Dean and Turnage and Young and Handy?
I really don't think so. I mean, you would have liked to have been able to have all of them on campus at that same time in that event in the winter. But other than that, there was really nothing else you can change or do other than, you know, make those changes on the staff last offseason that you could have, but I don't think that he was really able to do that.
Cortez Andrews, Ole Miss still pursuing him?
Until he actually visits Ole Miss, I mean, there's no telling with that kid.
What about Jacoby Criswell?
Jacoby Criswell is the 2020 quarterback from Arkansas. He visited for the Auburn game. He's been on campus several times. Him and Longo are pretty close, but Ole Miss is going to be careful when it comes to taking a 2020 quarterback, because you don't want to fill a meeting room with 6 foot, 6'1 quarterbacks.
Again, until I see who's the offensive coordinator, maybe it's Phil, yeah. Maybe it's not.
Right.
That's not an indictment of Phil Longo. Until I see who it is, I'm not taking this quarterback recruiting thing all that seriously right now.
Yeah.
Including Tisdale.
Right.
Okay, Firefighter Reb, ask a really good question that's really hard to answer with 3 weeks to go. List a few coaches that could recruit Memphis successfully. Is there anyone on the Mississippi State staff you think Luke should consider for a staff position when it comes to recruiting?
So the first one, few coaches. The first one that comes to mind is Anthony Jones, the running back coach at Memphis, who was at Cordova last year, has so many ties in that city and in that area, even stretching to Nashville and other parts of the state. And then I think that John Sumrall, who's already on the staff, would be a good fit in that area. He's been up there. I'm not sure if that's been reported or not, but he's been up there. He also has been up to Horn Lake quite a bit, so he knows that DeSoto, Shelby County area. And I think if you're going to find somebody who is going to specifically recruit Shelby County, they also need to be able to recruit DeSoto County, because you can't forget about those kids who are still technically in state. And then the
Mississippi State staff.
I mean, there's an Akron grad on there, but that's about it. Luke Getzey, the offensive coordinator.
Just a kid from Akron.
He graduated quite a bit before I did.
I'm not going to get into the dream class versus the probable class, because that just takes too long. All right, there's a lot of Tony Hughes talk. I got a lot of this in my mailbag.
There's a ton.
And I think you're in the same boat I'm in, which is, that was before your time. Yeah. He was at Ole Miss before it was my time. I don't know. Do you think, based off their past success in recruiting, that Tony Hughes and Marcus Woodson will be two prime candidates that Luke wants to add to his staff? I can tell you this on Woodson, yes.
100% yes.
Can Ole Miss get him? I don't know. My guess is yes. My guess is that Marcus Woodson has two ears and two eyes. That's the rumor. And that he has a brain between them and he knows what's going on at Auburn. Now, is somebody else going to want Marcus Woodson and make him a better offer? That's certainly possible. I don't know. Is Marcus Woodson on Matt Luke's radar? Matt Luke has not told me this yet. I feel very confident in saying yes.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
I don't know about Hughes. I'm going to be honest. Yeah. I don't know.
And I saw someone ask if they were going to bring him on right now, and I was, no.
Well, it's just, for what?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he was recruiting at Jackson State, right, the past year. I mean, he may have relationships with some of the kids, but they're not going to be game changers in December and February right now.
Swag for Heisman says, guesstimate here on Halloween, October the 31st, 2018. He does give you the disclaimer that says, of course, there's no way you could know. So this is asking you in your mind extrapolate a lot of unknowns and turn them into knowns. So, in other words, it's freaking impossible. But if you had to guess today, the final Rivals ranking for the Ole Miss recruiting class, you would guess?
21.
21.
What do you guess?
Oh, I have no idea. I expect significant change. I don't know who he can or cannot hire. And then I don't know how those hires would impact kids.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you for a fact that I've cleared my entire calendar the weekend after Thanksgiving. There will be nothing but work to be done.
I'm going on an Egyptian cruise. I'm not really. I'm just going to get that up. Does Sumrall stay in Oxford if allowed to do so? Well, number one, he's going to be allowed to do so.
Well, yeah. I mean, I thought this was one of the dumb question, but it was one of the stranger questions I saw.
Well, I think the question is, do you think someone hires him away?
I don't think he is at the stage where a bigger school, even a low-tier Power 5 like, you know, Oregon State or Iowa State or, you know, a school like that is ready to offer him a defensive coordinator job where he's calling plays. Does he have the experience in that? Yes. But is he going to leave? Like, he's not going to make a lateral move to be the defensive coordinator at Louisiana Lafayette.
Right. No.
No, that's not going to happen. I mean, he's invested in Oxford and at Ole Miss. But if, like I said, if someone does and wants to take that step and offer him a defensive coordinator job where he's calling plays, well, that's when Ole Miss has to, you know, face the facts and decide what they're going to do.
The Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Dead Soxy is also sponsored by Lentz & Little PA. Lentz & Little is Central and South Mississippi's law firm you want to hire for business advice and commercial litigation. Whether you are having trouble paying your debts or someone isn't paying you what they agreed to pay, Lentz & Little can quickly advise you of your best course of action. Lentz & Little has more than 60 years of collective experience representing companies and individuals in defaulted loan workouts, collections, repossessions, and foreclosures. Representing banks as well as companies having financial difficulties, Lentz & Little offers creative solutions to financial problems. Attorneys at Lentz & Little have the versatility you need, regardless of whether you need help with general business advice, issues with payment of taxes, or representation in state court, federal court, or bankruptcy court. If you're in need of advice or assistance with your financial situation, call Jarrett Little at 228-867-6050. Visit their website at lentzlittle.com. That's lentzlittle.com. Or email Jarrett, that's J-A-R-R-E-T-T, at lentzlittle.com. Shot does Ole Miss have with Eric Gray? And will Matt Luke's personal interest in his recruitment make a difference?
I would say yeah. I mean, there's been a ton of talk the past 4 or 5 days about Ole Miss's whereabouts and where they're going and who they're seeing and who they're not seeing. And I went into all of that on the message board. You can read that. I'm going to leave that for premium members. But with that being said, Nix will be at his game on Friday. It's the first round of the Tennessee State playoffs. It'll be their only visit they're allowed this period. And they're using it now. Tennessee's pushing. Tennessee wants him to decommit from Michigan quickly. Ole Miss is more of in a wait-and-see mode. They're not going to pressure the kid. They want him to come on his official visit in December and make a decision from there. Those are the two differing strategies. And as of right now, as strange as it is, Michigan's in third place. They do have his verbal commitment, but that verbal commitment means absolutely nothing. And, I mean, I've kind of hinted around at it almost his entire recruitment, but it was almost always going to come down to Tennessee and Ole Miss. Now, if Tennessee still had Robert Gillespie, that recruitment would have been over long ago.
There's a couple of people that keep hinting at this, so it's very clear what they're saying. Any chance that the guy at Horn Lake gets hired by Matt Luke on the Ole Miss coaching staff, would that make a difference with N'Kobe Dean? That's clearly what they're asking, right?
Yeah, that is what they're asking, and I would be stunned if Brad Boyette was on the 10-man on-field coaching staff at Ole Miss next year. I don't know if he's...
And if you don't put him on field...
You can't recruit anybody at Horn Lake.
Right, for 2 years.
Yeah, the IAWP rule kicks your ass. But no, I don't see that happening. There are some other high school coaches in Mississippi, the a little further down in Mississippi, and then in the city of Memphis, I could see potentially being a candidate. But other than that, no, Boyette is not happening.
The big visit day from the spring that got weathered out, is that hurting recruiting right now?
I mean, you would have had the commitment of Derek Hall, but I'm not sure if they would have even kept Derek Hall, because after he started picking up more offers, Mississippi State offered the day that visit got canceled, and then he kind of big-timed himself. I mean, I guess that's a good way to put it. He had several committable offers in the spring, which we talked about earlier, and he decided not to make an early commitment. Auburn pushed for his commitment on a visit there. He turned them down. And now he's kind of at the point in his recruitment where he's got to look in the mirror and say, who do I have committable offers from?
C. Handy 116, how does a coach pressure a recruit not to visit another school? What is meant by everything in their power?
I mean, rides fall through in Mississippi all the time.
Yeah, cars break down, man. It's the damnest thing.
What's those They're two lanes?
Obviously not driving a Clark Ford or a Grenada Nissan. That's
right.
Hey, yes, a decision you make on your own.
Bad decision. Between that and the two-lane highways and the lack of streetlights, I mean, there are plenty of ways for, you know, coaches and other people to get recruits to not visit places. The big one this weekend that everybody's kind of worried about is Northeast linebacker Sam Williams. LSU offered last week. He was pretty pumped about it. Watched his last JUCO game on Thursday. He's pretty pumped about the visit. I'm not sure if anything's going to come out of it. There will be an offer put on the table, but he already has the scholarship offer, so it'll be interesting to see what he does with that.
Let's see. Any top remaining targets that Ole Miss has a realistic chance of landing from Texas and Louisiana?
They're still recruiting David Gabenda, who committed to Texas. They're going to go see him next weekend when they're in Texas. They're also still recruiting Jalen Wertemeyer, who is in Dickinson, Texas, who they're also going to see when they're in Texas next week. Wertemeyer is the higher up target of the two. Gabenda is not really realistic, but they are going to go see him.
Remind me to come back to basketball, because we'll touch basketball before we go, because we've not touched it today. Almost all of the questions have been football related. How does Matt Luke stack up to other SEC head coaches purely as a recruiter? It's too early to judge.
It's way too early. I mean, last cycle, I mean, he closed really well for the December signing period. You can't say that he didn't. The February one was a little more questionable, but I think there were some things that he couldn't do that other schools could.
This is the first recruiting class you can judge on him as a head coach.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, 2019 is critical. It's been critical. Yeah, it's going to be critical. Yeah,
I'm not talking about the 2018 class. That's a transition class. I'm sorry, but it was.
Exactly.
Do you foresee an issue with teams from Old Landshark? Do you foresee an issue with teams retaining quality depth talent on rosters with the new redshirt transfer rule? Cam Ordway is an example. He's a depth piece that would be starting now but has decided to sit and transfer. Ask for any insight on his decision. I'll give you the insight on his decision. He's not an SEC player.
Yeah.
That's the insight on his decision.
It was a missed evaluation.
Yes.
And though he would be playing now, it would be more damaging for him to be playing now at the level of competition in the SEC than it would be for him not to be playing right now. And
there's no bigger shame in all of this that Hugh Freeze is not having to stand on the sidelines and be accountable for the lack of defensive talent on that roster. And I'm sorry, but that's the truth.
Yeah.
And this is twice in this one show. I think it's safe to say Wesley McGriff does not like me. And this is twice in the same show that I think Wesley McGriff will not be Ole Miss's defensive coordinator next year. And this is twice in the same show I'm going to defend him. The lack of talent on that defense is not on him. And it's not on Matt Luke either. I'm sorry, but it's not.
No.
There's no bigger shame. And frankly, other than losing $17 million and his reputation to a degree, Hugh Freeze comes out ahead getting to leave Ole Miss the way that he left. Because had Hugh Freeze coached last season and this season, we would be having hot seat conversations right now. And the seat would be on fire.
Yeah.
Because he would be standing there on Mondays and people would be saying, did you know that your defense from a talent standpoint was getting to this level? What did you do about it? Why did you lose, in your opinion, why did you lose? Those are the questions that no one's asking Matt Luke. The reason is it's not on Matt yet. So it bothers me. And it's not a fan thing. I'm not upset at fans, but it's what I mean. Because of when he left, he didn't get last season and this season hung on him. And therefore, there's a legend, a mythical quality almost to Hugh Freeze.
Oh, yeah, there is. There is for sure.
Had Hugh Freeze patrolled the sideline last year, they go 5-7 or worse. And if he were on the sideline this year, that's the same defense on the field, and it's all on him in that scenario. And people will be going, you know what, this guy, man, he doesn't know what he's doing. He can't recruit defensively well enough to win in this league. I'll answer the rest of that question. It's going to become difficult to keep kids on your roster. You're going to have to be a different kind of coach. The hard ass, run the kid into the ground kind of coach, those kids, they're going to leave. You're going to have to be really good at evaluation, and you're going to have to play kids enough to keep kids happy. Your management skills as a program manager are going to be tested in ways that previously they were not.
Agreed. I mean, yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen.
I'm a Rebel wants to know what's your opinion of recruiting momentum as of now. Kind of answered that.
I mean, there's really no momentum either way.
Yeah. How do you see it trending between now and February? We've answered that. We'll find out. Does it help or hurt us to not have Ole Miss, to not have official visits during games?
That's a topic that
is
become prevalent as well, because Ole Miss, for the second year in a row now, hasn't hosted official visitors during games. Last year they hosted one, didn't sign him, but this year they haven't had any. And with that being said, these other schools, like let's take Eric Gray for example. Eric Gray took his official visit to Michigan right before he committed in the summer. He took his official visit to Tennessee a couple weeks ago. That's their version of shooting their shot. And when you shoot your shot, with the NCAA, you don't get a second shot. I mean, you can have him for an unofficial. You can go do an in-home visit with him. But that official visit is done, and it's gone. And Ole Miss has set themselves up, for better or worse, for the critical period to come from the day after Ole Miss plays Mississippi State on Thanksgiving night, from the day after where they start hosting visitors and go from there to February when signing day takes place. That's the critical time, and that's where you're going to see if they can keep this number and the statistic where they're able to sign almost 65% of the official visitors who come in the offseason.
Does Tyler Siskey know the complete blueprint for Alabama recruiting? Yes. If so, does Ole Miss have the ability to implement it? We shall see. It's going to be hard. Alabama has a level of resource and commitment that really nobody else in the country has as of this moment. I mean, I know what people when they look. Here's part of it. I wrote this in the notebook a little in the mailbag a little bit. A lot of people do the innuendo stuff with Alabama. I do it. I joke around. People do too. And look, is there something to it? Yeah, sure, of course. You also have to give Alabama credit for this. They have a gazillion analysts. They have a head coach who is a relentless evaluator. Not recruiter, evaluator. They have a head coach who takes film home every day, including vacation days, and watches film relentlessly. Now, is that healthy? Hell, I don't know, man. I couldn't. I mean, he's wired differently than most people. There's a reason it is one Nick Saban. They are the best evaluating program in the country, and that has nothing. There's nothing untoward about that. Can you replicate that? I don't know. Everyone's trying. So far, no one's been able to pull it off. Georgia's gotten close, but they're not there yet.
No, not yet.
Why do recruits like terrible unis? This is the old Bears 26. Here's the deal. What you view as terrible and what I view as terrible and what you and I view as goofy-looking kids like.
Yeah, especially he's talking about the Mississippi State uniform this weekend, the gray jerseys with the Mississippi script on the helmet. I mean, you know, kids like different. If you're not a traditional power, a blue blood, you change your uniforms up and you get recruits excited because they want to take their pictures on those visits. There are going to be a ton of kids this weekend who visit Starkville just to put those jerseys on and get pictures to put on social media.
Yeah, it's the part of that that I'm 48 years old. It's a 48-year-old guy doesn't necessarily get.
Yeah, and it puts buzz around a program, especially when you wait. I mean, who does State play this weekend? Is it Arkansas?
No, it's
Auburn plays Arkansas.
Who does State play this weekend? Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, I mean, they wait to pull it out for that game. Number one, it gets recruits excited, and number two, it probably will increase attendance just a little bit.
Yeah, Mike, I'll be honest. I didn't hate them.
No, I mean, I thought they were pretty cool. I mean, you know, I don't know exactly who they're honoring. I'm not a history major, but.
I didn't love them, but I didn't hate them. They're okay. Mix it up. That's the game to mix it up.
Yeah, I mean, like Ole Miss this weekend, they're not going to wear, I don't think, their traditional Navy helmets.
They're wearing the white helmet with the Ole Miss, with the, like, the Major League teams mix the stars and stripes into their deal, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty sure that's what they're going to do.
And they're mixing the stars and stripes into the Ole Miss script emblem and putting that on the white helmet. And then I think they're wearing the red jersey, and I think they're wearing white pants.
Yeah, I mean, that's different. And I'm sure that other people probably ask why schools like Ole Miss are doing that as well. It's, you build buzz in recruiting. Do I think it's going to give them momentum? No one's going to commit because of it, but, you know, it shows you get clout, I guess, is a nice way to put it.
Kids get happy too. Kids get excited to wear something different.
Yeah. I mean, that's how Oregon built their brand.
Yeah.
Well, one of the ways they built their brand.
Yeah. But it's a big part of how they built their brand.
Yeah.
And it's, kids love it. You see kids go up there for a visit and they take pictures of 20 uniforms.
Yep.
There are only so many programs that can hang their shingle on tradition.
Yeah. The others have to do something different. If not, you're going to get lost in the shuffle.
And even if you go to Alabama and ask Alabama kids, ask kids being recruited by Alabama, tell me about Alabama's tradition. They're not going to tell you about Bear Bryant.
No, they're going to tell you about Nick Saban.
They're going to tell you about Nick Saban and all the cats he's putting in the National Football League.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's exactly it.
All right. Before we finish, let's talk basketball recruiting real quick. We've covered the DJ Jeffries thing. That's done. What's the latest with Chandler Lawson? What's happening there?
Chandler Lawson is expected still, as of right now, this is Wednesday morning, 11:12 a.m., to visit Georgia Tech this weekend. There is some doubt that he's going to actually take that visit again. There's reports last week that he was going to visit Georgia Tech last weekend. And it seems to be, I'm not sure what's going on, because if he's not going to visit Georgia Tech, there's really no other competition for Ole Miss. Oregon's way too far. I mean, Lawson couldn't even stay at Oak Hill for a year, let alone go all the way to Oregon to play college basketball. And the relationship with Dude and with the coaching staff and everything, with Lawson, it's going to be about whether or not he ends up going to Atlanta, meeting with Josh Pastner, bringing his family with him, taking that official visit, and what happens there. There's no set timetable. I've even heard that he may not sign early. And if he doesn't sign early, then other schools are going to get in the picture. And that's where Ole Miss would get a little bit jumpy. And I currently don't expect that to happen, but there is some buzz that it could.
The one thing I'll say about basketball recruiting is Ole Miss is a much bigger player for Sean Robinson, the 2020 kid that people thought, to the point of, I think they – lead.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And might get him early.
They want to.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, if they don't get him early, it gets harder.
Yeah.
He's potentially the big program-changing perception kid.
Yeah, between him and Jamin Brakefield next year.
Yeah, and there's a chance they get them both.
And that would, yeah, that would be something.
That would change your program.
Yeah.
But until you get them, it's, getting that first one's really hard. Andy Kennedy says hello.
Yeah. I agree with
Davis
that.
Kermit Davis learned that on DJ Jeffries. And there was nothing that Ole Miss could have done.
No.
When the people do, well, they dropped the ball. No. Andy Kennedy did a great job on DJ Jeffries. Kermit Davis and his staff did an exceptional job on DJ Jeffries.
The moment Penny came into his house, probably before that, and made him a priority, and he knew he was going to be a priority coming into that visit, that was when it was over.
It was over. It was over the moment that Penny Hardaway groveled.
Yeah. The moment he heard James Wiseman and other schools, he was like, I have to do something.
Yeah. All right, that does it for us for this edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Dead Soxy. Again, go see for yourself about Dead Soxy. Try them. If you don't love them, Dead Soxy will refund your money and you keep the socks. It's 100% risk-free guarantee. Check out their website, deadsoxy.com. Check out their offerings for men and women. It's a fantastic site. It's a beautiful website. They have an inventory of no-show socks as well. Enter Rebel Grove at checkout. You'll save 25% off your order. We'll be back next week. For Russell Johnson, I'm Neil McCready. Have a great weekend. Take care.